NATO makes an effort to bring Sweden into the alliance, and an airstrike may have killed a civilian. All of that and more today, June 29th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Simone Perez, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg called a meeting of senior officials from Turkey, Sweden, and Finland for early July. This is an effort to overcome Turkish objections to Sweden joining the alliance. Sweden and Finland applied to join NATO last year after Russia invaded Ukraine, amid widespread concern in Europe that President Vladimir Putin might broaden the war. Finland joined in April, but Turkish objections have held up Sweden's bid. Sweden has changed its anti-terror laws and lifted an arms embargo on Turkey to satisfy its demands. But Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said in a statement posted on his social media account that he spoke with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz yesterday by phone and again raised his concerns over Sweden's NATO membership. Here's why it matters. Turkey's government accuses Sweden of being too lenient toward groups Ankara says pose a security threat. That includes militant Kurdish groups and people associated with a 2016 coup. The Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, has waged a 38-year insurgency against Turkey that has left tens of thousands dead. It is designated a terrorist organization by the United States and the European Union. Sweden has a Kurdish diaspora of around 100,000 people. The pre-summit meeting represents a last-ditch effort by Stoltenberg to bring Sweden into NATO's ranks at the summit. That would be a highly symbolic moment and another indication of how Russia's war in Ukraine is driving countries into the arms of the Western alliance. NATO requires unanimous approval of all members to expand, but Hungary has also not yet ratified Sweden's bid. Hungarian lawmakers said a long-delayed vote in parliament would not happen until the autumn legislative session. That would almost certainly mean Sweden will not get the green light in time for NATO's July 11th through 12th summit in Lithuania. Hungary has never clearly stated publicly what its concerns are about Sweden's possible membership. NATO officials expect that it will follow suit once Turkey lifts its objections. Another important story, U.S. Central Command launched an official investigation into a May 3rd drone strike in Syria that may have resulted in the death of a civilian. Major John Moore, a CENTCOM spokesperson, confirmed the investigation in a statement to Military Times. He noted that Brigadier General John Cogbill from CENTCOM opened the investigation, which could last for 30 days or more. The investigation will examine the drone strike in early May that aimed to target a senior al-Qaeda leader, but instead may have resulted in the death of an individual with no terrorism ties. The man reportedly killed was a farmer named Lutfi Hassan Masto, according to the Associated Press. Here's why it matters. The incident poses questions over compliance with the military's civilian harm mitigation plan. The Department of Defense developed the plan in 2022 following various reports of U.S. strikes that resulted in civilian deaths. The investigation comes after a Washington Post report casted doubt over who was killed in the strike. In other news, sailors and Marines who are subjected to sexual harassment will get more support resources. For more on this, Navy Times reporter Diana Stancy-Coral joins the episode today. So, Diana, what are some of the key distinctions that make this policy unique as compared to previous policy?
So this new policy means now that sailors, Marines, and midshipmen who've previously experienced sexual harassment now have additional resources that were previously only available to those who've experienced sexual assault. That means that those who've been subjected to sexual harassment can now receive crisis intervention, safety assessments, counseling resources, victim advocacy support, and they're also permitted to discuss reporting options with personnel from the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program. Those previously were not offered to victims of sexual harassment, and so that's a new thing that the Department of the Navy is offering to personnel.
And this comes as there's been a number of major changes to the Department of the Navy's sexual harassment policies in the past 18 or so months. What are some of the other major changes?
Just last year, the service announced that it was stripping commanders in the Navy and the Marine Corps of investigative authority over sexual harassment allegations within their own units. So that's something new that we've seen. Additionally, last year, there was another big change where sailors, Marines, and midshipmen who report a sexual assault will no longer be punished for minor collateral misconduct. That was a really significant change because it allows those who make an unrestricted report of their assault through the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office or the Family Advocacy Program. It prevents them from being penalized if they were engaging in underage drinking at the time or near the time of the alleged assault, or if they were involved in an unprofessional relationship with the accused perpetrator. Things kind of under those circumstances. It protects them and allows them to report their sexual assault without being concerned of any damaging misconduct.
Thanks, Diana. For more conversations like that one, please like and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on your radar for today, in the wake of a new Defense Department guidance, military families with special needs should expect more consistency and better support in the Exceptional Family Member Program. All branches of the military offer an Exceptional Family Member Program. It includes a variety of personnel, medical, and family support functions. About 110,000 active duty service members are enrolled, but until now, each service established its own guidelines. The rules could even differ from one installation to another in the same service. Military families with special needs have detailed issues with the availability of medical care and special education. After a congressional hearing in February 2020, lawmakers mandated program standardization and improvements in the fiscal 2021 National Defense Authorization Act. As before, a service member's enrollment in the Exceptional Family Member Program is mandatory when a family member meets the enrollment criteria. But the updated DOD-wide policy not only standardizes those criteria, but also spells out the enrollment process. Some say the new policy doesn't go far enough, but DOD officials say their work isn't finished. And now here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Pakistan said its security forces killed an Islamic State group commander and two other militants during a raid on a militant hideout near the border with Afghanistan. The Navy said the USS Delaware made a port call in the Faroe Islands this week, marking the first ever visit by a U.S. nuclear-powered submarine to the North Atlantic archipelago. Former Navy SEAL Tim Shee announced he will seek the 2024 Republican nomination to challenge Montana's U.S. Senator John Tester. Tester, who is a Democrat and chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, is trying to secure a fourth term. And Marine veteran Daniel Penny pleaded not guilty yesterday to revised charges in the death of Jordan Neely. Penny was originally arrested on a manslaughter charge in the New York City subway death, but a grand jury added a negligent homicide charge earlier this month. Penny pleaded not guilty to both at an arraignment yesterday. And on this day in history, in 2021, former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld passed away. He was 88. Rumsfeld is the only person to serve as the Pentagon chief twice, from 1975 to 1977, and then again from 2001 to 2006. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Zamon Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by The Associated Press, Diana Stancy Coral, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and Karen Jowers. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Bruce. Have a great day.